Food Matters with Aisling Larkin on Daisha Today.
With property partners Phelan Hertridge. Results that move you. Click propertypartnerswaterford.ie.
Aisling just asking me, is it barn or barn? It is barn.
It is.
B-A-R-M.
I have it wrote barn, I have it typed barn, and then I just got this like moment of going, oh my God, is it barn?
Barnbrack, yeah. No, it's a funny one. Yeah, I remember having a big discussion with my mammy about this, and I was actually up with mammy and daddy on Monday night, and I love the Barmbrack. Do you love the Barmbrack?
I do. It's very nostalgic, isn't it? It's very kind of, it's very old school. It reminds me of my nanny like 100%. You know what I mean? Because we, yeah, it's that. It's that lovely toastiness. It's lovely.
So we've got a nice little 13, 14 minutes of a chat with Aisling Larkin. She's here. You can get all the information on aislinglarkin.ie on the Instagram pages.
Absolutely. So I have filmed two recipe videos for both of these, which will be up later on today. So it'll talk you through the tips and step by step how to make these two beautiful recipes.
And it's up on your story on Instagram as well. So in front of me, and I've shared that as well this morning, we're going to be talking about October baking, apple and raspberry Bakewell tart, as well as a modern Barmbrack modern. So in front of me, I have this gorgeous Barmbrack and I have this lovely tart as well. We're going to put a little bit of cream on that. My body's a temple. Gemma's passing by the studio and saying, you want a hand eating that? You want a hand? No, go away, Gemma, go away.
I will definitely leave some in studio because it's warm out of the oven as well.
So the traditional Irish fruit bread, the Barmbrack. Is there a ring in that?
There is a ring.
Is there?
So there's a bit of loot in this. I wrapped up a ring and I wrapped
Where'd you get the ring? A coin.
I went down to my jewellery box this morning and I wrapped it up. I'll tell you, right, my 7-year-old has been obsessed with Barmbrack and she's been asking, Mom, can we buy one? And I was like, no, we'll make one, Amelia. You know, we'll do that. So then, but and I discovered as it went on, I was like, and do you like it, pet? And she said, well, I want the ring, ma'am. I was like, ah. So the ring is
hidden in here.
And the loot. So by the way, if I cut you a slice and you get something wrapped up, you're going to have to put that slice back and I'm going to get you a different slice, because if I go home without the loot, I'm in big trouble, right?
So what makes a good Barmbrack?
So I suppose there's two different types. Traditionally, we have a yeast-based one, and we see that a lot in the supermarket. So you've got your kind of your yeast base. It's a slightly more chewy one. It's a lighter one. And then you've got all your dried fruit in it. So the one I've made today is more of a cake-baked one. So it's traditionally very much around Halloween and Samhain and that celebration. And I suppose the thing is that, you know, on Halloween night, there's a very thin veil between the living and the dead. And it's this moment of predicting the future. And this is why the coin was in there, the ring, the matchstick, the cloth, all of those little bits were hidden in there to predict what your future would be. It's also kind of, I suppose, quite a lean recipe in that you're using up a lot of things. So, you know, I mean, in modern days, we're talking about preventing food waste. Like back in the day, this is what food waste is. You know, it wasn't an option. So it's made on tea. So leftover cold tea. Obviously, you're coming into the harvest season where, you know, fruits have been dried. They've been harvested and picked from the summer and they're dried fruits because that's what we have in the pantry at that stage. So I'll run you through kind of a little bit of I suppose, how you make it. It's a two-step recipe. You have to start last night and you finish it today or this morning. The reason you do that is you're putting in your fruit, okay? So you've got to soak your fruit in tea. Traditionally, it was cold tea. Now, I've actually used hot tea because I think the reason you're using the tea, it rehydrates and plumps up all that dried fruit. And the other reason is tea has tannins in it, like wine does. And tannins bring this very subtle layer of flavour to a dish. So like when we build dishes, or even if you think of perfume, you've kind of got base notes, middle notes and top notes. Base notes are things like your aromatics, your garlic, your ginger, your chili, you know, your spices. So when it comes to a tea bark, that base note is that tannin from the tea that comes out. So like I said, I use the hot tea because I think it actually plumps up. It allows the fruit to absorb it better. And I put in then, so there's for every kind of 350 grams of fruit, you're putting 350 mils of liquid. So I use 300 mils of hot tea and then 50 mils of whiskey. And this whiskey has a little bit of honey in it. It's a little honey flavoured whiskey, so it's very nice. So that goes in. The reason I'm calling it a modern brack is I've changed up a couple of different things. The fruit. So instead of just
bless myself now before you talk. Can't.
It's lovely. It is lovely. Okay. I should cut you a slice. Actually, while we're talking, I'm going to pass you over a slice so you can have a taste. So
there's a little slice cut and there's no ring in that.
There's no ring in that. There's a little bit of butter. I actually
so
just
it's
a little
bit different.
Butter.
The reason I'm blessing myself is because you're actually trying to get something modern out of something traditional. Oh my God.
I know.
The absence of fat in barmbrack as well is noticeable.
Yeah.
Traditional Irish recipes often relied on simplicity, as you say, using basic ingredients. So now what am I going to be tasting here when I get
so
into
the
this?
Dried fruit that I've used is a combination of raisins, dates, figs, apricots, and I put goji berries in. And I also put a sprinkle of milled flax seeds, chia seeds, and Brazil nuts in there. The one I have in
that's what makes it modern.
Yeah, that's what makes it modern. So what we're trying to do, I suppose, look, it's what I do with all of my recipes all the time. Every week I'm here, it's that better for you. You know, how can we make a recipe better for you? How can we make it more nutrient dense, but still really, really delicious? And things like the dates, the figs, the apricots, they all have higher protein, a little bit of higher fibre content, I should say. So we're always trying to increase our fibre. We're trying to get in about 25 grams of fibre every single day. And it's tricky to do, but dried fruits are a really good way of doing that. And sometimes we don't like the dried fruits because they're quite dry. But you put them in a tea rack, you rehydrate them, and all of a sudden you've got something really, really nice. I replaced the glacé cherries with the goji berries. Goji berries are kind of lauded as one of these superfoods. And I don't believe you have to spend a fortune on superfoods, because goji berries are pricey, but they're one of the ones, and I suppose just they're interesting to kind of feature because they're full of antioxidants. And when we talk about antioxidants, what do? It reduces inflammation in our body. And we're always trying to do that. So it has more, like things like the flax seeds, the Brazil nuts, lots of selenium in there. So when we talk about boosting our mood, selenium is one of those little micronutrients that's associated with good mood. Thyroid. So like again, it's looking at these little nuances in a recipe, and by small little swaps. So something that's just as simple as moving from the raisins and sultanas to things like dates and figs and apricots. All of a sudden, you're really boosting the nutrient value.
It was one thing when I was growing up, the cherries. I never really liked the cherries.
No.
I used to take the cherries out and try and sort of spit them out.
Yeah, I know. It's a funny one though, isn't it?
Now, I've just had a little taste of that. It's delicious. It's really, really delicious. Again, it's only a tiny taste. Now, it's quite wet.
It's very moist. Yeah,
very moist.
It's a moist cake. And that's the difference.
So talk to me about that. Why do you like that?
That's the difference between the yeast one. So the yeast one is much drier, kind of chewier, whereas this one is a very, very moist cake. Now, if you'd prefer it a little bit less moist, take that tea down to, rather than having 350 fruit, 350 liquid, take the tea down to 250 and 50 mils of the whiskey, or you can leave the whiskey out altogether. And just drop, if you prefer it a bit cakier and a bit drier, just drop 50 mils of the liquid out. There's a little bit of mixed spice in there. There's a little bit of vanilla in there. So basically you soak all your fruit overnight, and then the next morning it's all plump, and you're going to mix that in with your self-rising flour, your brown sugar, your mixed spice, a little bit of vanilla, and then you basically just stir it all around. So there's no mixers needed or anything. It's basically just combined wet and dry, bake it in the oven for an hour, and then when it came out, I glazed it with a little bit of melted marmalade. So I just warmed a little bit of marmalade and glazed it with a little bit of marmalade. So it looks really pretty, but as well, that orange note pairs lovely with the mixed spice and with the fruit. I really like that.
Somebody just texted in, the cherries were absolute geek.
Well, there you go. Replaced with goji berries for a modern version.
Now, people will still have their own ways of doing things.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
No, absolutely. And the method that I've followed is a really old school traditional recipe. This is the recipe that fell out of my mum's cookbook. Like, this is a really old recipe that I've followed, but I've just swapped in and out a couple of different ingredients just to make it a little bit healthier. And those bags of milled flax seeds, chia seeds, linseeds, there's loads of different companies doing them. You can buy branded or unbranded. They're just such a super smart ingredient to have in your cupboard. You can stir them into overnight oats, stir them into your Weetabix or your porridge in the morning. If you're making a loaf of bread, put a few of them into your loaf of bread, and you're adding such nutrient value for such an easy win.
Somebody just texted in, where and when do you put in the ring and what do you put it around?
Yeah, so wrap it in either tinfoil or parchment paper. So when you have your wet ingredients, dry ingredients, so I lined my, so I have a 2 pound loaf tin. I lined that with a bit of parchment paper, put in all your mixture, and then just slot them in. You basically just wrap, but always wrap them in something. So wrap them in a little bit of tinfoil or parchment and pop them in.
Yeah, I'd say the parchment paper, because if you bite into the tinfoil and you get tinfoil, and if you have a filling, have you ever had tinfoil on a filling?
No.
Have you any fillings? No.
Yeah, I do, but I've never had the tinfoil.
Oh my God, the pain.
Really? Do you, how was it like?
Oh my God.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the tin foil on filling, it just, oh, you jump like a cat jumping off.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, terrible.
Parchment paper.
Parchment paper, yeah.
There you go.
And then you'd have to be fearful. Remember, we used to think, make sure now you check it before you, because you don't want to swallow the ring.
I know. Well, this is why it's wrapped up well, right? It is wrapped up well. The lovely other thing about this is it holds really well. Like,
yeah,
you'll get a week out of it. And like 3 days later, toasting it. I love it toasted, because you get the kind of little bit of crunch out of it, which is really, really nice. So yeah, look,
and
it's a lovely one.
Melt a bit of butter on it then.
Oh, the melted butter and the bit of marmalade. Yeah, I mean, pot of tea. What more do you want at this time of miserable rainy weather?
So all these details there. So you've got full details about the modern barm brack. High fibre content, healthier fats, higher antioxidant content, mixed protein, modern ingredients and rich in essential micronutrients.
Mm-hmm.
So again, what you've been doing on this slot consistently over the years you've been with us, Aisling, and thank you so much for being on to and talk to us, is taking traditional recipes and just changing them sometimes a little bit to make them more modern.
That's it. And I suppose it's looking at opportunities. Like my world is very much around the area of development and innovation, I suppose, and that's where my master's is, and that's the work I do when I'm not here chatting about food. And it's about looking at recipes and looking at ways that we can reformulate recipes to make them to suit modern lifestyles, but also that they are smarter and clever, and that there's that little bit more opportunity to make them more nutrient dense. And where and how do you do that? Like, this recipe also works as an egg-free recipe. So if you have anybody with an allergy or anything, there's only one egg in it. So like I said, there's no margarine, no fat, no butter. So you're literally just your flour, your sugar. But the egg kind of brings a little bit of structure to it, because the protein in the egg creates the structure. But you can certainly leave the egg out. And I've done that. And it works. It's fine. Like, it works. It works fine. It's not ideal, but it works and it's fine.
And just to remind our listeners, the traditional recipe, the protein content is lower because it relies mainly on smaller amounts of flour that's present. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's it. And what's lovely is that the flax seeds, if you're ever kind of looking for an alternative to eggs in a recipe, mixing up flax seeds with a little bit of water and allowing them to kind of turn out like jelly almost replaces eggs in a recipe. So that's what the flax seed is doing in here. As well as adding extra nutrients, it can allow you to drop out the egg and to use the flax seeds instead.
I want to give you more time, so stay with us. We're going to talk next about a wonderful apple and raspberry Bakewell tart. Stay with us, please.
Food Matters with Aisling Larkin on Dacia Today.
With Property Partners Barry Hertridge. Results that move you. Click propertypartnerstremor.ie.
Yeah, as I say, Aisling Larkin is here with us. We're going a little bit over on this item because Aisling drove up especially from Dungarvan to be with us today, and she also has done and does great preparation for this piece. So we've spoken about the barm brack. Somebody said, yeah, the connection, and the it's in Irish bairn brack, so it can be pronounced barn brack or barm brack. Can anybody tell me, can you still get Sally Lunns anymore? I used to love them. Did you ever hear about a Sally Lunn?
No.
Type of bread. It's a thing in the city here. I'll come back to you on that.
Wow.
Could you ask Aisling, would you ever consider writing a cookbook? I love her recipes and a cookbook would be brilliant. That's in from Mary.
Well, Mary, I need to do it. I just need to do it. Yes, I will. I promise.
You promise?
I promise. That's a promise. Live on air. I can't go back on it now.
And if Mammy is listening, I've just been talking to Aisling off air about our dry shepherd's pie, Mammy, and I really liked it, and I like it dry. That's the way I like it. So I'll talk to you again about that. 083-333-975. I don't like those wet ones. You know, I prefer dry.
There you go. And that's your line and you're sticking to it.
Depends how dry it is now. But now we've got the Break the Rules Bakewell. Okay,
yeah.
Talk to me about this. You've got this lovely tart in front of me. You've cut a little piece of it and there's some cream there as well. What is in this, please, Aisling Larkin?
So Bakewell tart is a little bit like a frangipan. So we often it kind of interchanges with a frangipan. Sometimes we know Bakewell tarts from the supermarket with Bakewell, cherry Bakewell tarts, which are these little individual tarts in tin foil with a little glacé cherry on top. Now, if you asked me to eat one of those, I'd hand it straight back. Don't like them. I think they're overly done with the almond. So almond is one of the key notes that we're talking about here when you talk about a Bakewell or frangipan specifically. So sometimes we kind of mix them up. So frangipan specifically refers to the top layer of a Bakewell. So a Bakewell is short crust pastry, tart, filled with a layer of jam in some instance, and then you've got your frangipane, which is your cakey mixture on top. Then you can put in things like pears. You can put in things like, so I've done apple today. So I've done an apple and raspberry bakewell because it is that autumnal time. And it's, I've had a bowl of apples. I'm not messing. They were given to me. And I got through half and the other half were sitting there. And I was like, I am not letting these apples go to waste. What am I going to do instead of a traditional apple tart? And the raspberry and the apple pairs really, really nicely together. So there's a couple of layers to this. So what I tried to do was I went through it yesterday. I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to see if I can break the rules when it comes to some of the baking and see what are the non-negotiables? What are the bits with a bakewell tart you actually have to do? Oh, I'm going to treat a little better. Can you take a few shortcuts along the way? So I'm going to start at the base and we're going to work our way through the layers, right? The base is a shortcrust pastry. You can buy bought shortcrust pastry if you want, but it is so easy to make. Traditionally, right, you would put half the amount of fat to flour. So let's say you're working with 300 grams of flour. You're talking 150 grams of fat. That fat was either butter or hard block of margarine. Butter brings a beautiful richness to your pastry, like beautiful. Margarine brings a crispness to your pastry. So my best recommendation is half and half, actually. But what I did for this one was I used all margarine. Got it really, really crisp because what I was trying to do was to see if I could make a bakewell tart without baking the pastry blind on the bottom. So to bake blind means you make your pastry, you roll it out, put it in your tin, and then you don't, you would bake it first until your pastry shell goes crispy, and then you put your filling in and you rebake it. That takes time, okay? So, a couple of things I did. Traditionally, when we make our pastry, we rub in the butter with our fingers until it looks like breadcrumbs. But a lot of people have cake mixers now. We have cake stand mixers. And there's a whisk attachment, but there's also a paddle attachment. Oh, yes. Paddle attachment looks like kind of an arrow. Yeah. And people don't know what to do with it. This is what you use it for. It basically forms the breadcrumbs without you having to rub in.
I have one of those at home. I didn't know what to do with it.
Yeah. Cookies is predominantly what we would use it for, but creaming as well. So if you're creaming your butter and your sugar, if you're using a Madeira, but it works brilliantly for making your pastry. So put in your flour and your butter, paddle attachment on, turns out like breadcrumbs, then ice cold water, non-negotiable. Has to be really, really cold water, a few drops of cold water, bring it together. And I have a full video done on this, so you'll see me do it step by step. Traditionally, then you would knead it, wrap it in parchment and chill it, okay? So I didn't bother kneading it. I just put it in parchment paper, in the fridge, chilled it down for 30 minutes. That part is essential. You have to chill your pastry. Normally, we would sprinkle flour on the table and then roll out with our rolling pin. So I didn't use flour. Instead, I just put the sheet of parchment paper back over the pastry and rolled it out. So it saves you using your flour into your tin. And then I didn't bake it blind. So the next step was I put a layer of jam in. Beautiful raspberry jam. If you can get homemade jam, all the better. I had the box of apples left over. So I stewed down the apples. Tiny bit of sugar, little drop of water, then put in my layer of stewed apples, and then I made my frangipane. So frangipane comes, it's like this 16th century, there was an Italian guy who, he was a nobleman, and he invented, listen to this, almond scented gloves for people to wear. Like, doesn't it sound like a mad notion you'd go to Dragon's Den with or something? But almond scented gloves, and it took off. And everybody wanted almond-scented everything. So all of these chefs in France and Italy decided that they were going to make almond-flavoured everything. So this is where frangipane, because his surname was Frangipane. So this is where frangipane came from. Yeah. So your frangipane then is 100 grams of sugar, 100 grams of butter, teaspoon of vanilla, teaspoon of almond extract, and 100 grams of almonds, ground almonds. Some people will put flour in. I don't. I think flour makes it a bit cakey. I love to keep. Actually, I'm going to pass you over some. I'm going to pop a little bit of cream on here.
Okay, we only have a minute left.
Pass you over a little bit.
Okay, I'll have a taste there.
But what happens is the ground almonds keep it really crumbly and really soft. Whereas, yeah, I think the flour kind of brings it to a bit of a kind of a Madeira cakey mixture, and I don't like that. So you've got that short pastry, you've got your raspberry, you've got your lovely soft stewed apple, and then you've got your almondy frangipane, but it's not too almondy on top. And it's really, really nice. So
that's delicious.
What I found was if you turn on your oven too hot, it tends to burn on top. So you need to kind of start it at a slightly lower temperature. You can get away without baking the pastry blind. If you want a brilliant result or a perfect result, bake your pastry blind. But if you're happy for, you know what, I'm going to get one of these in the oven nice and quick and we're going to have it for dessert, you'll get away without baking your pastry blind, which is great. Traditionally, you would put flaked almonds on top. I didn't have any flaked almonds. And this is what I love to do when we talk about baking like this. You can break some of the rules. A little bit of coconut. And coconut pairs lovely with raspberry and with apple.
Does it?
Yeah, it really, really does. So there's a couple of, like if you wanted to, if you had stewed pears, you could put them in, tinned pears, slice them, put your layer of sliced pears in on the bottom. So you've got loads of options, but it's one of those beautiful autumnal, come out of the oven, use up your seasonal fruit that you have recipes.
That is just delicious. It's absolutely
Isn't it lovely?
Absolutely.
Really, really nice. Yeah. Bit of custard, bit of cream, bit of ice cream.
Oh,
I mean, you could go anyway with this.
Oh, stop.
Possibilities are endless, Damien.
Aisling Larkin, thank you so much. Where can people get all the recipes?
My Instagram is probably the handiest place, Aisling Larkin, or else everything's up on the website, aislinglarkin.ie as well.
Lovely. Really appreciate it. Thanks for all the work you've done
so
on this
welcome.
Again. Brilliant.